Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. You know what? We have 786,000 listeners here in the United States, another 130,000 listeners overseas. I just want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family, because that's the way we expand the show. Today, you know what? We are going to have a wonderful show. I want to start with this. I've got HomeBay, a clever real estate publication, published some of the compelling data with what comes into renting versus buying in 2024 that you might find interesting. 88% of homeowners report a higher than level happiness with their homeownership, citing stability, security as a key factor. Now, in contrast, about 67% of renters feel stressed about their finances, highlighting the economic pressure they face despite enjoying the freedom from maintenance and repair responsibilities associated with renting. These numbers might not surprise you, but we can talk about the joy of ownership without also talking about today's affordability challenges. For many, balancing income, cost of ownership can feel overwhelming, especially when factoring in down payments, mortgage rates, overall monthly costs. Essential to prepare and have a strategy placed where considering the transition from renting to buying. Now, we have mortgage veteran Mike Ajar. He's going to fill us in on the mortgage market for 2024, 2025, steps to refinancing, getting your first mortgage. What if you have a variable mortgage? Wisdom on current mortgage holders and more. I'll be focusing on helping you understand what is going on right now with the 10-year treasury, as well as what's happening with hedge funds and what it means to you. With that, we have Mike Ajar with us today, nearly two decades of experience as a trusted mortgage professional loan officer. He's a leader at Landmark Mortgage Planners. I mean, he started when he was 18 years old, and you can see he still looks young. And you know what? He's helped over 2,500 families achieve their homeownership dream, ensuring support before, after, during. Mike's also the founder of MPH Legacy Group. Mike collaborates with financial professionals to offer alternative investment solutions and strategies. Through his podcast, The Financial Rebound, he shares his journey of overcoming a seven-figure debt, rebuilding a financial life, helping others avoid common pitfall. Mike also serves as an ambassador for First Home IQ, a nonprofit focused on providing Gen Z with essential financial literacy. You know what? We're lucky to have you here, Mike. We've got a big thing, big subject going on, because the study just shows 88% of people love owning a home. But the big issue here is we've got the mortgages and all the costs and stuff that goes along with that. It's one of the reasons why we have you here today. You know what? We're going to talk about the mortgage world. But then, you know what? We are our listeners and viewers. I mean, you know, they're between, you know, 45 and 75. But you know what? They're worried about, you know what? What do I do if I'm, you know, getting a mortgage for the first time? What if I'm refinancing? You know what? I've got this variable mortgage. How do I deal with that? You know, because rates keep flying up. And you know what? What are the little tips and things that people need to know? How to properly get prepared? All that lovely stuff. And you know, we got some time to unpack it. So with that, Mike, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to jump in with you.
Well, let's first talk a little bit about your story, because when I was reading Overcoming a Seven-Figure Debt, $1 million is a pretty big debt.
multiple seven figures. So it was not a fun time in my life, but a necessary one. A lot of lessons that I believe that were preparation for the things that I was going to go through later on in my career, right? And whether that be in life or in business, I think, you know, there's really a we say this, you know, adversity is our biggest currency, right? One of our most valuable teachers. So while that was not the most fun time of my life, I wouldn't change a thing in regards to how we went through it.
Well, I actually think that's important because it's in the failure where the gain is, just like you said it differently, but it's in the grind and the it's in the failure, it's in the grind and the achievement that you learn from those things. So I think that's wonderful. So I got to ask, what got you in the mortgage business at 18?
So I was contemplating going to college at Michigan State, and my buddies were all there. And in all fairness, probably like junior year of high school, because my friends were, you know, my age and then a couple years older. So I already had some of my friends in college, but we were already, you know, heading out on Thursdays to Michigan State to go party with our buddies and whatnot while I was in high school. And I started to think, I'm like, all right, all my friends are there. Am I actually going to like focus when I'm in school? Or is this going to be like a huge party? And I didn't want that money to go to waste. So I got one of those phone calls. One of my family members was in the mortgage business back then. He still is. And he called me and he said, you know, do you want to make $10,000 a month? And at 18, $10,000 a month is like, you know, I think I'm like King Kong or on top of the world.
$1 billion.
Exactly. So I decided to do that and go to school locally. So I was trying to balance the two. And in my junior year, it was where I decided that I was going to go full time into the mortgage side. Because that was my junior year would have been the 2008 crash. So not only was I severely immature at that point, but I needed to find other ways to make money. So we started flipping some real estate and, you know, there's houses that are, had I held on to them would have been awesome, but I needed the money. We were buying them for like $17,000 to $20,000. Those houses are worth about $250,000 to $300,000 today. So I was getting heavily into that. And really, I tell people, like for most people, once the mortgage industry gets its claws in you, it's kind of hard to get out. And because there's those months that, you know, we have no limit on what we're able to do. And just that ability to continue to serve people was always fascinating to me.
Oh, that's cool. So, I get it. Once you get started in something and you really know it really, really well, and you realize you're making more money than your buddies who just got out of college, and you probably will make more money than your buddies for the first 10 years of their career. And you're like, why? But the thing is, you already had the lessons that got taught that could have got taught in college. So I think that's very, very cool. Because quite frankly, most people don't know this about me. I have a degree at Pepperdine. But I didn't get that degree until after I was already an executive for a company. They went, oh, crap, you don't have a degree. You better go get one. We'll pay for it. Everyone in your level has one, so you better go get it. So you know, I understand that. I used to develop business overseas, and I had a great mentor. So you're very lucky with your uncle. So that's very cool. Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about the mortgage market in 2024, because we started seeing interest rates go up and all that kind of stuff. So help everybody understand what was taking place.
So in regards to rates, I think there was a lot of anticipation of, you know, rates coming down into the fives this year, a lot of forecasting around that. And as the economic reports were starting to come out, more and more, we started to see that probably we're going to, you know, be more like in the mid sixes for the rest of the year. Now, again, new administration comes in. I think that causes some different sort of pros and cons in the market, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of the administration. And I think there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes right now where I think 2020, there was over 400,000 licensed originators, and we are down to about 135,000, and we would potentially see another 30% exit the industry this year. What does that mean for home buyers and homeowners? The people that are staying in, you're going to see sort of the cream of the crop sort of rise, and that's not like like a patting myself on the back thing. That's a lot of resilience, right? I didn't take a paycheck for 12 months last year to make sure that our team was properly staffed for what we were going to deal with this year. We've never been, in my early career, I was heavily on the consumer direct side, scaling those teams. But for the past 7 years, we've been focused on primarily purchase business and not losing sight of that. And so really what I think it's gonna mean to home buyers, I think there will be a little bit open up of supply, because people are just accepting, hey, this is where, you know, rates are going to be. I know there was a lot of that talk about, you know, marry the house, date the rate. I think that's a dangerous term, because you can't qualify people based on what we think is going to happen in the future, right? We need to make sure that that affordability is there today, along with adjusted for inflation and the rise of property taxes and things like that. So I think, you know, again, what that means to home buyers is it's going to be easier to seek out professionals who are going to have more of a holistic approach rather than just a transactional approach. So I'm not just trying to be overly optimistic. I think there's going to be some opportunities in real estate that just haven't been there for the last 2 years.
So basically what you're saying is the marry the house, date the rate, that might not be in somebody's best interest because they're going into something thinking they're going to be having a real tight budget right now, and that tight budget might be forever. So correct. It doesn't make a lot of sense hoping. You should do the right thing at the beginning. And with the purge in any industry, even mine or ours with the podcast, sure. You know what? It's brutal. The people who were hoping the phone rings, you know, aren't going to be around. The people who didn't get good advice aren't going to be around. The people who don't have a good situation and really, truly help people aren't going to be around. And because people just won't deal with them anymore. And I think that's a great analogy to say, hey, look, folks, we're going to be talking with more Mike. Sit with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I truly want to thank you for tuning in and appreciate you for, you know, just sharing us with your friends and family. And, you know, your associates, I mean, we're over 750,000 here in the States and another 120 overseas. And we just appreciate you. And all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, like here today with Mike, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. They're all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. You can also go to the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page for insider information, get all the gifts, replays, all that kind of stuff on our website there. Now, we have Michael here. He's talking about mortgages. We talked about what was happening, you know, his story, what happened in 2024, 2025, what he's looking at. But the big thing is here, hey, with higher interest rates, obviously it's not as easy to get a mortgage, Mike. you know, what are the steps that somebody needs to take? And let's just start with the first time home buyer, because I think it's different for somebody that's buying a second home or refinancing than the first time home buyer, because they're essentially establishing themselves. So what would be the process? What's the little inside tips, the steps that people need to take to not have a situation where they're always going back and forth getting more information?
I love that question. And I think the biggest thing, I can't stress how important it is that you don't have to have 20% down to buy a home. I think the stats are showing right now 46% don't quote me exactly, of first-time home buyers believe that you need 20% or more to buy a home. So when I talk about, or when you mentioned first-time home IQ and really empowering Gen Z, and it's not specific to Gen Z. This can be a 60-year-old first-time home buyer. And we have a whole nother thing we can talk about really what we focus on in the mortgage planning model. So the best advice I give to any first-time home buyer, and when people ask me who are the clients that have the most success, typically it's the buyers that come to us 6, 12, 18 months beforehand and put together a game plan. So when we say we're there before, during, and after, we're not of the belief that, and I'm not knocking any mortgage or real estate professionals, but again, it's dangerous advice to say it's always a great time to buy a home. That couldn't be further from the truth. It's a very unique and individual situation. It is a perfect time to buy the home when the client is fully educated, empowered, and can make a clear decision on whether that's right for them or not, with, of course, our advice. So the biggest advice that I can give to any first-time home buyer is, and I think to human beings in general have a challenge. We have a challenge with depth perception. So a lot of times clients will come to us and say, you know, I think I'm 12 months out. It's too far. And we start to dive into that and we start to create the game plan. And that 12 months that they thought was really more like 90 days. And not to say that I don't care if somebody's 2 years out, we're going to still have that conversation. So one of the other things is find a lender that is not going to discount you or bypass you because you're not buying a house tomorrow, right? That we call it desperation cologne and commission breath, trying to force a sale rather than really sitting down and understanding, all right, if we're there before, during, and after for the client, we need to make sure that the decisions that are made today are not only in line with their short-term goal of buying the home, but in line with their long-term goals of what sort of lifestyle they want to live 20, 30 years from now or 10 years from now, whenever that retirement play comes in, adjusted for inflation. And that's where we would bring in advisors, guys like yourself, just people that can really help consult and build that advisory team around the client. So if a lender is not going to talk to you because you're not buying tomorrow, you've got the wrong lender. I strongly suggest, whether you believe you're 2 years out, a year out, 6 months out, get the game plan together now so that you're ready when you are actually ready, you're fully prepared.
More importantly, if you have a mortgage professional, a real estate professional, and a financial professional, you have three people providing the advice, giving the ups and downs. That way you can make a good decision. Because one of the worst things people can do, you don't have the right people on the same page at the same time to really understand what's going on and make a solid decision and making sure you get the house that you want.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback off of that, you couldn't have said it better. So, you know, even on our website, homeloanplanners.com, if you scroll down probably, you know, a quarter of the way of the page, we have what's called the client advisory team that I mentioned. And that is, it includes the lender, which would be us, the real estate professional, the financial advisor, a life insurance specialist, if the advisor doesn't sell financial products, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA. And we've now also brought in one additional one, a local property tax assessor that helps us. Because if I come to you and I say, hey, Steve, this is what I think the taxes are going to be next year, or, you know, you can come to me and say, Mike, we need to be a little bit more specific. We're not, you know, just guessing here. But what you said is so important and accurate. I don't know what the CPA knows, and the CPA may not know what the estate planning attorney knows, and all these, and then the financial advisor. But when those professionals are able to communicate, what happens for the client, it becomes life changing. And we, you know, we can get into stories of that another time. But I think you nailed it, that the client can only communicate so much, and that's no knock to the client. I don't know if the CPA tells me, I don't want to be the one to go tell the financial advisor what the CPA said. We should all be on that call together, really strategizing and making sure we're finding efficiency and inefficiencies in the strategies.
Oh, I totally agree. I can. There's multiple times where I've had conversation. You know, it's not about mortgages, but it might be about planning somebody's income, and they think, you know what. I'll just give you an example of somebody I had the discussion with after they had a conversation with somebody else. And basically what this individual is doing is the person called him up, all that kind of stuff, and talked to him about doing a life insurance policy. And the guy said, hey, $100,000 a year for 3 years. Okay. And it was going to create this $2.5-3 million life insurance policy for his heirs. Okay. And you know what? And then he goes, hey, Steve, I need $100,000. I said, okay, what are you doing? What are you getting it for? He goes, oh, I'm getting life insurance. Okay. You know, I wish you would have talked to me, but hey, it is what it is. So I have a question for you. You only have IRA money. So do you realize with your income that you have right now with your Social Security and pensions, add that $100,000, you're going to pay $36,000 in taxes.
Created went, a what? Serious taxable event.
He just went, what? What? And it was like, you saw the light bulbs go, oh, I said, you know what? And maybe we should get, you know, Karen on the line to make sure that's all, you know, when she got a line, it was actually $40,000 in taxes. And he's like, oh, we need, no. I said, well, look at that. You know, you're going to have to pay $420,000-$430,000 if taxes don't go up in order to do the $300,000. Is that something you want to do? I think he was just, oh. So, you know what? He actually said, no, not going to do it, that type of thing. But stuff like that happens all the time. The problem is if he went forward, did it, and then the tax man hit, he would be like, oh my God. But the other thing I didn't talk about is he's over a certain age, and because his income exceeded a certain level, he's going to have to pay almost twice what he would have to pay for his Medicare. It's Medicare earnings tax. The Medicare earnings tax, where your Medicare goes up from, you know, we paid $400 a month for 2 years for Medicare. And he's like, oh, it was, you know, I'm not laughing at him, but it's just one of those things where people just don't realize. And it is comical to him now because he's not getting hit with everything. We got everything back, so he wasn't going to get taxed. So, you know what? Those things happen way, way too much. And I think it's important. And I really love the fact that you're saying that. That you have to have other people on the line because it just makes a lot of sense for that to occur. So, hey, you know what? We need to take another break. Stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. We're talking to Mike Hajar here. We're talking about mortgages, all that's going on right now. We just finished talking about having multiple advisors with you when you're making this decision. And more importantly, Get prepared 6, 8, 12 months in advance. Don't act like you're wasting somebody's time. If somebody won't talk to you because you're that far out, wrong person to be with. Find the right people who will be working with you because they understand that if they can help a number of people do it the right way without stress, hey, it'll make their life work because you're going to say, he's a good guy. And we got a good guy right here with Michael. Now, so the next thing we want to talk about is this. You know what? We have people that are looking to refinance, and then we have, you know what, the variable mortgage. Let's talk about refinancing. What should people be looking at with refinancing? Because it's different for a first home buyer to somebody's refinance, especially since the rate might be, you know what, lower, and now they have to go a higher rate because they need the money.
Absolutely. That's a great question. So I think there's two type of people that we can split that up into is, let's just say for you know purposes of illustrating this is that let's just say everybody has in this category has a 3% interest rate, right? And if rates are sitting around 6.5%, well, obviously a lot of people don't want to refinance at that point. So to me, there's two type of people that are going to benefit or could benefit from this advice rather. If you don't have a cap on your income, and you're maybe in a commission business or somewhere where you're not stuck with a salary, those people are more likely to tough it out and say, hey, I'd rather attack whatever, you know, I think we've broken a trillion in credit card debt, right? So we're at all-time highs. And those people get it. Maybe they have a monster couple months in whatever line of work that they're in, and they can attack that debt. And we'd advise those people based on what their income is that, hey, in the long term, it may solve some short-term heartburn, but we don't want to see you lose that rate. And yes, we can come in with a HELOC for those people to preserve that rate. Now,
Could you tell everybody what a HELOC is?
I apologize. Yeah, a home equity line of credit.
Okay, perfect.
That will allow them to keep their rate on the first, and then they would have a second mortgage that we could consolidate that credit card debt with. And then obviously, as they pay that off, they're only paying on the portion that they use. So now that if they need money, they can go in and pull from that down the road. Or if they're not utilizing it, then they're not paying on anything if there's no draws.
Okay, so let me add this. If you're looking at doing a HELOC to take care of credit card debt or any type of overspending, you first want to take care of the overspending issue. Correct whatever the issue is. Maybe it's a one-time thing. Maybe it's medical bills. But just please correct that. Otherwise, you're going to be in a double worse situation.
Very well said. And that's why when we say the before, during, and after, you know, I preach this to my team across the country is that If you're the person in the mortgage world that's only going to show up when there's a transaction, then you cannot call yourself a mortgage advisor, or really, I don't know that you can say that you care enough. So for us, we have at least two annual reviews with every client because they may forget that we told them, hey, you can't re-rack up the credit card debt or whatever it may be. But just to help them make sure that they're always, just like advisors do, you know, an annual review with their clients, mortgage professionals should be doing at minimum one, especially in this market, two annual reviews with anybody that they've done a mortgage for. Unfortunately, 95% of lenders disappear right when the transaction is complete. So we pick up a lot of business really just helping people, even if we didn't do their first mortgage, we were able to come in, kind of help them reposition that and go from there. Now, the second person is that the refinance would apply to is the person with a 3% rate. Maybe they have a great income, but it's a salary and they're capped. And we start to look at what they're paying in interest and whatnot. And maybe they don't qualify for a HELOC because their score is dropped because of the credit card utilization is maxed out or whatever it may be. Well, now we're just going to come in, and it's a term that you're going to be familiar with, but we're just going to look at the blended rate and say, okay, I know you've got the 3% rate on the mortgage, but when we add up this $60,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 in credit card debt, and we look at the blended rate on these, and it's 19%, I don't care what the mortgage rate is, as long as it's lower than 19, which it obviously is lower, significantly lower. Well, that's the only people that it really, to me, makes sense to refinance, because otherwise they're in that rat race of just trying to get out of the interest that's destroying them, right? I mean, you talk about predatory lending. It's just these credit card rates are something else.
So let's just talk a little bit about people with a variable mortgage right now. And you know what? They probably got it when it was one and they went, hey, we're good. We're still two. We're still three. That's good. And the next thing you know, it's at seven or eight or nine. So how do we help those type of people?
So those are, I mean, depending on where their rate is going to fall right now. I mean, I just have never been a fan of adjustable rate or variable rate mortgages. Because again, that kind of falls back into that marry the house, date the rate. It's we're trying to take advantage of this short term, and we really are hoping for the long term. Do I believe rates will come down? Yeah, I think, you know, it's there's a lot of economic factors that'll decide that, but I think it's going to take time, right? If rates just dropped quickly right now, we'd have a lot more economic problems outside of the mortgage and real estate world. So it needs to come down slowly. But I would encourage them to get into a fixed product, because I'm not saying that, again, I'm not saying that rates won't come down, but if it's going to take so long to come down, then we just have to make the calculation and say, okay, you know, you may be at 7.25 variable. Yeah, it might go down to 6.5 in 6 months. But again, there's that might factor. So for anybody in a variable rate mortgage right now, I would strongly suggest at least looking at options of a fixed rate, because the last thing, in my opinion, that should be gambled with is the roof that is over our head.
Oh, totally, totally agree with that. What I'd like you to talk about is things that people need to have prepared if they're going to get a mortgage. What does somebody need to be looking at right now if I'm going to get a mortgage? If I'm looking to get a mortgage 6 months down the road, what should they be looking at?
From a credit perspective, obviously there's loans that go down to, you know, a 580 credit score. So I don't want people to just discount themselves because they are hearing somebody on TikTok or, you know, whatever these gurus are out there saying. And then also just having whatever their job is, right? It just having the documents prepared in regards to W-2s, pay stubs, if they're self-employed, the tax returns. And then self-employed people, we don't want them to discount themselves either, because 95% of lenders, if you've got a CPA who knows what they're doing and legally and ethically is putting write-offs into depreciation and amortization, the average mortgage lender is going to miss that. But the 10% that really understand that know that those things can be added back in while still giving the client the tax benefit or the tax write-off, if you will. And I'm not giving tax advice. This is just real life scenario, right? And so not discounting themselves, having the financials in place, and then also just knowing where a down payment and knowing that, again, they don't need 20% down, but just having some sort of plan that we would help them create. And I guess I can't stress enough, I don't know how many times I have to stop somebody in their tracks. You'll cringe when you hear this. But you know, the client comes to us and says, well, the realtor told me to liquidate my Roth IRA to put the down payment. And we're like, no, we got to pump the brakes on that. Right. So just knowing that, yeah, there is, you don't need 20% down. You can buy a home with as little as 3% down. There are down payment assistance programs that, which I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of going in negative equity positions. But they're there. And more importantly, I would say than anything, and this is why we put the game plan together, is making sure, I know people say like have 3 months of emergency funds. We're recommending our clients have 12 months of payments set aside of whatever their mortgage is going to be, especially in an environment like this with a shaky economy.
Yeah, I think that one of the best thing you said there is you gave the example of The real estate person told him to liquidate a Roth IRA. That's the time where you need your financial advisor involved to help you make the right decision so you can utilize the appropriate money that won't adversely affect you down the road. Too many decisions are made today that people don't realize that will impact them when they're retired or when they can actually retire. So, and if you think taxes are going to go down in the future, hey, liquidate the Roth IRA. But if you don't, it might be a good idea to continue with that. So, folks, hey, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Mike Hazan. This is wonderful.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you sharing us, letting your friends and family members know about the show. Again, we appreciate it. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're sharing the stories of, you know, enjoying those stories and sharing those stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, as well as E360 TV, all these networks dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. So you know what? We have Mike Hazan. He's been wonderful, providing us some wonderful advice. And Mike, I just would like to talk a little bit more, just for a few minutes, about, you know, why it's so important to have multiple advisors help you if you're making a mortgage decision.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest reasons, right, is as much as I can maybe identify challenges, you know, if a client comes to me and says, well, and we just had one yesterday, the client was referred to me by a lender who was not licensed in the state. And the lender calls me, he's like, I structured the whole deal. Everything is great, good to go. You know, but I'm not licensed in Michigan, and the client was supposed to buy in Tennessee. They ended up moving here. So I'm looking at the file and I'm like, why is this client putting 40% down? So I called the client. I said, hey, Joe, which is not his real name. Hey, Joe, I'm looking at your file and I just want to confirm a couple things. Are we putting 40% down because, like, you really need to be at that payment every month, or where did this 40% down number come from? He said, oh, no, I was putting 20% down. And then because I have a sale of some land that's going on, I just figured I'd throw that on top of it. And I said, okay, if what you were to what you believed about money to be true may not be, would you be open, or how soon would you want to know? And while I can say, hey, it may not be the best to put 40% down, and that money could be better suited potentially sitting somewhere else, I can't give them the financial advice of where to actually put that money. So I would need to bring in somebody like yourself and say, hey, Steve, I've identified the issue, right? The issue is the 40% down. The client is very okay with making the payment with putting 5% down. What would you recommend? And is there a more efficient way to place this money where it will suit more of their long-term goals? Because again, when I was at the conference that down in Orlando, again, about 1,500 advisors, maybe about seven mortgage guys. The number one thing that they talk about is, or the number one place that people are losing money unknowingly and unnecessarily is one, how they pay for their mortgage, the 15 years, the making extra payments. And the other place is the large down payments or making cash, these little emotional shortcuts. So again, the importance of having a team of professionals is, while I can identify that problem, I can't legally say, nor do I want to say, you should put your money here or you should put your money there. That's not for me to say. That's for me to say, hey, you need to talk to Steve, and Steve can help create a more holistic picture, because the mortgage is only one vehicle in your whole picture. Now, then we may say, okay, well, we need to understand this client's got nine properties or two or whatever it may be. We need to understand the tax ramifications of some of the decisions that can be made, or the tax incentives based on what decisions can be made. And then we pull in the CPA for that. And then obviously, in regards to protection and so many other things that I won't bore the audience with, is the importance of the estate planning attorney coming in. And again, without all of us communicating together, if the client goes to each person individually, if you think about the telephone game that we played in school, by the time one person says something and, you know, in 5 minutes it's traveled across the room, the entire message has changed. Not because somebody's wanting to intentionally mess up the message. It's just there's different ways of communication. But when we're all together, that's how we can actually serve the client the most, because we all don't know what the other professional knows.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, because listening to what you said about that one scenario, what are some of the other things that came out of the conference? Because I know that conference, you told me about the conference, you're dealing with concerns that have happened within your industry and how people deal with it. What are some of the best ways or the solutions that you that came up with?
Yeah. So we have a heavy emphasis on the retirement side as well. Again, those decisions being made today, I don't care if the person's 25, 35, 45, 65, it doesn't matter. That's going to impact, again, people are living longer, right? So when we're looking at these scenarios and we're saying, hold on, we know that your advisor probably, you know, and I'm talking to any client that has a significant, maybe they have a portfolio of $1 million or $1.5 million, and the advisor did a great job growing it from there. But when we start to talk to them, we notice that some of these advisors really haven't, and I'm not picking on advisors, I'm picking on the system that's broken in regards to mortgage professionals not knowing their own product to be able to communicate it to a financial advisor. So one of the biggest things that we talked about there is the big bad reverse mortgage, right? And really debunking a lot of the myths around that. And one of the biggest things that we heard back from a lot of the advisors was that they had never heard it explained the way that we explained it. And I would opt to say that maybe 5% of mortgage professionals understand it at that level. So when we're dealing with, we deal with a lot of seniors and getting into those retirement years. And when we're looking at some of these misconceptions, we've got about $13 trillion, I think is the number now, of home equity for boomers. I think we've got like 10,000 people turning 65 each day. And they've done a wonderful job. And I don't blame them, right? This is no bash against Dave Ramsey. I'm just saying one of the things that he pushes is, you know, pay the house off, make sure you have no debt, and you know, own that home free and clear. We're okay with that ideology. However, there is a smarter way to own your home free and clear in retirement. And what that is actually putting in the reverse mortgage, because what the concept around that was that people thought that the reverse mortgage was only for destitute situations, you know, loss of a spouse. And yeah, can it solve for things like that? Absolutely. But the number one utilizer of the reverse mortgage, or the HECM, the home equity conversion mortgage, is the mass affluent. People with $75,000 or more in, annually in retirement income, and over, you know, $1 to $1.5 million in assets. And you would say, well, that person doesn't need the reverse mortgage. And that's exactly where it comes in. So FINRA in 2012 they really instigated the study, and it was done by people obviously way smarter than me. You know, Dr. Wade Fow, the Sachs brothers, the American College of Finance. And what the study was, and they ran 10,000 Monte Carlo simulations on this and said, okay, before, the idea was that a HECM or a reverse mortgage was done as a last resort. Basically, draw the portfolio all the way down, and once that portfolio hits zero, then put the reverse mortgage in place. It doesn't mean that that strategy doesn't work. However, with all of those simulations that were run, it was proven, and this is, again, not what I think, this is just going to go back to the math, is that there's an 8x greater chance of cash flow survival when the HECM is put in earlier in retirement. So how we utilize that is there is a growing tax-free line of credit that compounds monthly at the same rate that the loan balance would be growing by. So when people think reverse mortgage, they think, oh, I have no mortgage payment, and then there's negative amortization. So, and I think this is the part where I say there's about 5% of mortgage professionals that really understand this. The reverse mortgage, when utilized properly, is one of the number one ways to mitigate sequence of returns risk. So how do we do that? It's what's called a coordinated withdrawal strategy. There, that growing tax-free line of credit becomes a buffer asset that protects the client's current portfolio. So if you had a client and we've got a 30% down year in the market, well, we don't want to beat that portfolio up and then have to draw from there, you know, and if they're obviously 72, then we're in an RMD situation anyways, right? But we don't want them to have to draw from there if there is another tank for them to pull from. And that tank becomes the growing tax-free line of credit, which they don't have to qualify for once the reverse is in place. It's contractually guaranteed. Whatever they need will be in their account within 48 to 72 hours. And again, as we're going, so in a market up year, we'll say, yeah, let's pull off of, and we would sit with you, right? And we would say, Steve, I think, you know, maybe we, do you recommend that we pull from the market this year? Yeah, we had major gains. Let's pull from there. Market down year, we pull from the reverse or the home equity conversion line of credit, allowing that portfolio to recover. And again, we start to talk about solving for things like long-term care, in-home care, and all of these things that, like you said, we were all told at some point that we would be at a lower tax bracket when we got into retirement. I think that's very true for people that are retiring today, because we're in some of the lowest tax brackets historically that we've been in, right? But we don't know what the future holds. So to create another bucket, what we tell clients is, there ever a time that the same scenario where your home is free and clear, that it wouldn't make sense to have access to a tax-free line of credit, because what we see is people that don't put it in place when they need the money, well, now they got to refinance, but maybe they maxed out all their credit cards and they don't qualify, or they lost a spouse and now the income doesn't qualify, or the, you know, again, people are human. They forgot to pay the $30 Lowe's bill, and now they got a 30-day late on their mortgage. There's too many variables or intangibles that could cause somebody, I'm not even thinking about real estate market risk right now. But what happens, and why I say real estate market risk, is God forbid, you know, I don't believe that house prices will crash anytime soon. But again, you know that I'm not somebody who pretends to have a crystal ball from the short time we've been speaking together. So we really don't know what would happen. What is beautiful about that tax-free line of credit is that it grows independent of the value of the home. So God forbid we did have another 2008, and those values came all the way down, that tax-free line of credit will still continue to compound regardless of what's happening with the value of the home. So it makes a lot more sense on an illustration, but I think in its simplest form is at least start to get educated around those things. Anybody that is approaching age 62, we call it their reverse mortgage birthday, and it's not always the solution, right?
Oh, never is.
But when we're able to pair it with, again, the entire picture, it can be something that it's a pool of money they didn't even realize that they had access to, and could potentially, again, too many market down years, we're dealing with a death spiral. Yeah. We start to look at mitigating sequence of returns risk with the home equity conversion mortgage.
Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining us today. How can people get a hold of you if they'd like your help?
So on Instagram, I am at Mike_Hajjar_mortgage. That's H-A-J-J-A-R. And then everywhere else on social media, it's just Mike Hajjar, my first and last name. And our website is www.homeloanplanners.com. Also, they can find our podcast anywhere, The Financial Rebound. So any one of those ways, you'll get to me.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for being with us today. The information you provided is invaluable to our listeners. With that, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
Hey, thank you all for joining us today on Saving with Steve. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.